Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is Dr. Dan Ross, who is the Emeritus Commissioner for Ohio High School Athletics. Thank you again for joining us. Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we give you thanks for this day. We ask that your blessing be upon our listeners and all their intentions this day. Help them to know your love and your mercy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Dan, you had a wonderful career in education, and I think everyone who knows you knows your great heart for youth and for children, for students. And but I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about education, and first with your career. So you started, as you mentioned, after you graduated from Ohio Dominican. You started down in Portsmouth at Portsmouth Notre Dame.
Yes, in the elementary.
And teaching fifth graders was your first.
Was my first full time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what? How long were you in Catholic education?
Well, I was in the Catholic education that one the first year.
Yeah.
I left and I went into the public school.
Okay.
And I was a history and government teacher for seniors. And you talk about culture shift because it was kindergarten, second grade, fifth grade, and then go to seniors in high school.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of an adjustment. Plus that I was just a little over 20 and I had students that were 19. That was an adjustment too. But it was a wonderful experience. I ended up getting my master's degree at Xavier in guidance and counseling. So I taught for 3 years, and then I was a guidance counselor for high school kids, and probably the best guidance counseling job in Ohio because we had about 1,000 students. There were three counselors. One of them wanted to work with the students that wanted to go on to college and go on to school of figuring acumes and getting all the stuff out to colleges and just loved doing that stuff. One of them loved to do the references for kids for jobs and colleges. And so they looked at me, and they were both older than me, probably by 20 years. And they both looked at me and said, "You got the kids." And it was like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing in the world. So I spent my entire day dealing with kids for the next 3 years.
Where was that at, your first?
Scioto County JVS.
Okay.
Just north of Portsmouth, between there and Lucasville.
To back up, as you went into education, were there any kind of principles in your heart that you started with, maybe that you yourself had received through your own education, Catholic education and at St. Charles and at Ohio Dominican, that you kind of brought into your career?
I think probably the biggest thing for me was I thought that as an educator, so many times decisions are made, I believe, that were expedient for you or convenient for you or the school or the administration. And the last thought was how it affected kids. And I thought that the paradigm should have been turned around. I thought it's what's the most important thing for the child. And then how do we make that work versus what's the most important thing for all of us, teachers, administrators, or whatever? And lastly, then what kind of a down-the-hill effect that's going to have on the child that's involved? And I thought the paradigm was turned around. And so when I had the wonderful opportunity to work with 1,000 kids, and I knew every one of them by name, And I just always felt like I was going to treat the kids in my care like they were my own kids. I wasn't going to treat them any different than I would my own children. And so for me, that was my mantra for my whole career, that it was okay. When I worked with my school boards, it was okay. We have one primary reason when we get ready to make a decision, and the question is, what's best for kids? And if it violates that principle, then we're not doing it.
There's a particular love that teachers or counselors or even and administrators have for their students. And I don't know, do you describe it as as love for the kids you're working with?
Absolutely. Yeah. It comes right straight from your heart. You know, so many kids, I grew up, there were 11 of us. We were on a small farm. We didn't have much. I didn't know it. You know, I was probably considered somebody looking from the outside. So those poor kids. Well, and we probably were. But, you know, I didn't need to have anything else other than what I had. I had the love of my parents and the love of my siblings. And I think when you love people for what they bring versus who they are or what they could do for you or what they have done for you, I think that you have a completely different vision for what your life should be. You're not, you know, we're in this to serve. And I think that I felt like I loved every kid that I had. Now, did I love everything that they did? No, but I think sometimes you got to help kids understand that you got to separate what they do from who they are. You love the child. You may not like what they do. And so, you know, it was interesting. I'd get situations where I'd have kids in my office who were in trouble when I was a principal. And I'd put a chair in between us. And I'd talk to the chair. And they would look at me and go, "What are you doing that for?" And I would say, "Because I'm talking to the person that did what it is. I'm not talking to you. I love you. I don't like what that person just did." Mm. And they'd always say, "Oh my gosh, that you didn't really hold that against me." No, I never held that against you. I just think you need to learn that whatever this person did, whatever, mm-hmm. is not appropriate.
And you're obviously in your educational experience, you've seen broken families too.
I have.
And maybe where the parents are completely absent from the life, you know, and maybe even a single parent environment, or more and more as we're seeing grandparents are raising grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Or even where, you know, like the dysfunction of family. How do you, I mean, but the other point too is as an educator, you're not there to replace the parent either.
No.
How do you kind of balance that?
Well, I think one of the things that you realize really quickly, especially as a counselor, is when somebody puts that you're their escape hatch in mm-hmm. a way. That, you know, when you say you need to be having this conversation with your mom and dad, and they say, "Well, I can't talk to my mom and dad." Okay, so let's work on the communication piece of how you're going to be able to talk to your mom and dad, because all these things that you're just sharing with me, you need to share with them. So how, and, you know, I can give you a real quick story mm-hmm. that I learned this really early in my counseling career, that a young lady came in and she was crying, sitting there crying, and I knew it had to be something that was traumatic. And she said she was pregnant. And I said, "Well, you need to talk to your mom and dad." She said, "I can't tell my dad that." She said, "My dad will kill me." I said, "No, your dad is not going to kill you." And I said, "Well, I'll go with you to sit down to talk to your mom and dad." So she said, "Okay." She said, "My dad's going to kill us." And I said, "No, he's not going to kill you. He's not going to kill you." I said, "I'll help you, you know, because I'm a fairly good-sized person." Her dad was bigger than me. But anyhow, I went over to the house, and mom and dad were in kind of doing the dishes, and the young lady came to the door, and she let me in. And so she said, "Dad, Mom, we need to talk." So we come in, sit down, and we're sitting on the young lady and I are sitting on the couch, and Dad's in a lazy boy, and Mother's in a straight-back chair on this side. I said, "You know, Mr. and Mrs. Blank, your daughter has something that she needs to share with you." And so the young lady said, "Dad, I'm pregnant." He come flying out of that chair. He did. He came flying out of that chair, and he's like this, coming right through at me. He thought I was the father.
Yeah.
Well, I learned really quickly, we need to handle this a different way. But if I hadn't been there, because she said he'll kill me. If he would have hit her, he would have knocked her right through the plate glass window.
Yeah.
But he wasn't rational at that point in time. He was so emotional.
Yeah.
But I'm standing there holding him, and he is shaking. And it was like, oh my goodness, I need to find a... So you're going to learn along the way that you can do what you can do to try to help the kids, but I was not going to do that anymore other than when we got in and the announcement, I'm just here to help. I'm not involved. You know, I didn't make that clear at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I should have, but I was 22 years old too. So that was probably a great learning experience, but you have that, you have to have that feeling for kids, and kids are going to come from different spots, different places, different homes, and you just got to help them through that. But I think the other piece is you also need to help your staff, if you're an administrator, understand that you don't want to sit in a lounge and be a lounge lizard about a kid that's really, really struggling in your class when you have no clue what's going on at home. Mm. You have no clue what's that youngster's dealing with when they walk out of that door in the morning. Everybody thinks that, you know, it's like heaven behind that door. No, not always. Some of them are, but there's a lot of them that aren't.
And, you know, that's a really good takeaway as we wrap up this part of our conversation is, I mean, that it's not just, you know, like administrators or teachers to youth, but it's really our experience with everyone before us is, especially in the life of the family, there's so many secrets in families, and people go about a given day, and the stress or the anxiety that they're dealing with, or even like the sort of existential threat that they're dealing, they're living with. Excellent. Well, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again has been Dan Ross. Thank you again. And until next time, peace and all good.